This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Hi, Conscious Kitchen fam. It's been a few weeks that we launched season 5, and we just really hope that you're loving everything that we're putting out there. Today, we're going to talk about being radically content and joy overall. It's so hard for us to allow ourselves to truly feel joyful. We build so many different walls and just different traumas that maybe stop us from being and feeling joyful. So today we're talking to Kim Saira. She is an Asian joy coach and movement coach. Woo! And we're just going to dive into her pursuit to being radically content. So welcome, Kim.
Yes. Welcome, Kim. So excited. I mean, it's crazy. You've been like crazy trending on social media lately. Like, damn, girl. Are you so happy and so proud of yourself?
I am. Yeah, I'm really proud of myself, mostly because I was able to do it in a way that like is so authentic to what I'm feeling offline. So like I'm not tied to anything. I'm kind of just going with the flow. I'm really happy about it.
That's so epic to find something. It's not like you have to work all hard to create all this extra content or like be strategizing. It's literally like you're just living your life and putting your life on the internet, right?
Yes. That's why I have, I feel like a lot of like the social media thing that I was doing last year required me to have a certain type of energy, a certain type of vibe to be online and be in a certain box. And I just don't like subscribe to that anymore. And I feel like it's been working for me.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great reflection. And it's really joyful to hear you just watch you when you show up on my feed. And, you know, everything's really relatable, you know, and it's just beautiful seeing you pretty much like unboxing yourself, you know, as an individual, you know. So, yeah, welcome to the podcast. This is the Conscious Kitchen. You know, so the Conscious Kitchen basically is about having heart-to-heart conversations. So let's get into it today. Yeah. So Kim, 3 words to describe yourself and why, and just a little juice about who you are.
Yeah. So 3 words to describe myself would be content, would be unlearning, and would be, I don't know if that's a word to describe myself, but yeah, I'm learning. And the third one would be just growing or reflecting. And I think, so about me, my name is Kim. I did a lot of activism work last year, which is how a lot of people know about my work, being in the Asian activism space. And then over that period of time, I started going more into mental health and what that really meant to me as an Asian American. And now I do content, and now I'm about to be certified as a spiritual workout coach or a movement coach. So I teach other people how to be in their bodies as a way to find inner liberation.
That's beautiful. So how have you been healing yourself through movement? And what does that mean exactly for those people who might not know?
Yeah, so I'll just start off with this too. I feel like, and this was something that I've been reflecting on as well, you know, a lot of like the spiritual communities that I've been seeing, especially on social media, is always about transcending. And it's always about like manifesting and being outside the body and like looking for manifesting all the external, which is amazing. However, in my practice and in the lineage that I've learned, you know, the key to really being at peace with yourself and really knowing that you're so grounded and, you know, finding that inner liberation comes with being in the body. So learning how to be in the body, especially when it comes to facing all of our emotional baggage or facing all of the difficult feelings, it's really easy to want to escape the body. And so, you know, a lot of that has really shaped my work in the mental health space. And, you know, I've just been doing like research on my own of seeing how the Western and the Eastern systems of care can be intertwined in a way that really focuses on the spiritual and, you know, the physical body. Along with, you know, Eastern practices or just like the lineage that I've learned, which is Vajrayana Buddhism.
That's so cool. It's really beautiful to have people like you in this space and just working on themselves continually, you know, daily, you know, I see you going to retreats and all these things, because I realize like as a mentor myself, it's like, it's, I realize how many people actually in the brown community and the BIPOC community, there is no like people of service for us. And it's like a huge, huge like gap. And there's like a huge need for it, you know? And it's like, it's crazy. I'm like, we're living in 2022. And there is just like, people are just changing their jobs and like just ready to serve. And it's like, it's really incredible. And it's like, it's a really amazing to see you, you know, becoming such a force as well. So that's really cool.
I love that one of your words was unlearning. And I feel like that is what we're all doing. And you're such a beautiful example of that as you're deconstructing like colonization, right? Because a lot of these things like that you're talking about, like movement, has been a part of healing for tribes and indigenous people all around the world. And in an effort to break us all apart, the colonizers have taken that away from us, you know, and have really like deconstructed that as part of like our healing modalities. We heal in community, we heal in dance, we heal in movement. And so it's like, it's relearning. Like you just said, relearning is like, that's exactly it.
Yeah. And singing too. Filipinos, we love to sing.
Oh my gosh, right?
Oh my gosh. I love that you said that too, because like, even like dancing has always been used as a form of prayer to the unseen forces, you know, and I just love that you mentioned that too, because, you know, like so many witches or so many, you know, like colonized people at the time were like basically burned at the stake for singing and chanting and gathering around fires and like using their bodies as worship. And so in my practice, oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps. Oh, and so in my practice and what I've been learning is to really start entertaining the body as a vessel for, you know, connecting to the divine, or vessel as a way to connect with your higher self, whatever you want to call it. And it's just been so transformative. And also like, we need more brown and black folks to be in this space too. So yeah.
I mean, that's where we feel safest, right? Like we feel safest when we're with someone that like understands the different parts of who we are and why we may have the traumas that we have.
Yeah. So Kim, what does radically content mean to you right now, today, this moment?
Ooh, I love this question so much. And I feel like radically content means being okay with being okay. You know, something that my dear teacher has always like taught me is that we tend to want to be in, you know, we tend to attach ourselves to feelings a lot. So like, if you were to ask someone how they're doing, they will respond with really happy or like really great or like I feel like shit, you know. And it's all about the middle path or the middle way. You know, so I always respond to, you know, feeling content or feeling just like okay with pure bliss, because when you're okay or when you're content, you understand that, you know, you're not attaching yourself to like the two extremes, which is like feeling either really like shit or feeling really excited, and knowing that all feelings are transient. So like every single feeling we experience will come and go. Every single one. And I think suffering, it's an edgy word, but it usually comes from attaching ourselves to a specific feeling. So content or being okay is usually for me the best way to go, because in that way I'm not really attaching myself to all the other feelings out there. I don't know if that landed.
It's what it means to you, baby. You know, so
we love always saying that there's like really no wrong answer to anything, because somewhere in the 7 billion people that are out there, someone is going to resonate with those exact words. And so that's why it's just so important to just like, right, live in that moment, speak in that moment, and just really feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. Being radically content. I think, you know, after the pandemic, we're still shifting, but we're still kind of landing, like the dust is a bit settling with all the chaos around us, learning to be radically content with what we have and like maximizing what we do have now. You know, and that's in another question that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. I want to go back to some of the movement. And one of the things that I want to ask specifically is, you know, when we're taught to move in like our modern society, it's with a lot of judgment and it's with a lot of you know, being on beat and you can or can't dance, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of fear and just restrictions.
Yeah.
How did you deconstruct that feeling of moving freely, fully embodying that like spirit of movement with everything that's in the modern world?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this question. And first of all, I have to pay ode to my spiritual teacher. Their name is Saadi Simone, and they're really the ones who created the somatic activated healing practice that I do. And they really, really allowed me and really pushed me to be out of my body. And meaning like to move in ways that my body has never moved before with no fucks given. So I just really need to pay ode to them because they've really helped me do that. And yeah, I think, so for me, I've always associated dance to having to be on substances, you know? So like for me, like I never knew how to like let loose and just dance if I wasn't on alcohol or drugs, like in the past. Mm-hmm. So, that tuning into movement in a free flowing way was very crunchy to me in the beginning. It was so freaking awkward because I could not allow myself to go there. You know, my mind was saying all of these stories like, oh, you look stupid, or like, you're moving in a really awkward way, even when there were no other people around me. I just would get in my head a lot, you know? And I think with ecstatic dance specifically, it allows you to just feel. And I think it takes baby steps. The thing is, for everyone's journey about, you know, feeling into their bodies in ecstatic dance is different. I just feel like when you're able to close your eyes and put the headphones on and give yourself just 2 minutes. I read somewhere that the average human being, if you were to tell them to dance to a song, they could only do it for 2 minutes. So before getting into their head. So just give yourself 2 minutes to flow with the song. And if you feel crunchy or awkward, lean into it, you know. Usually in moments when we're uncomfortable with our bodies, we want to run away and just stop doing it entirely. But I invite people to just really move into that crunchiness and awkwardness of being in your body and feeling it sometimes for the first time.
Yeah, lead into it. Don't care to not look cute or on beat, that's for sure. Yeah. And so where does that take you once you lean into something like that? Does it take you to like, yeah, like the somatic experiences, more connected to like the universal mind? Like where does it take you?
Yeah, it takes me to ecstasy, actually, because I'm definitely, when I'm moving in ways, and this is very specific to the somatic activated healing, because the practice that I've learned combines movement, breath, mantra and meditation. So it's a whole spiritual performance. And whenever you're allowing your body to really go there, there are times where I don't even know what my body is doing. And sometimes I'm also chanting and I'm not sure what I'm chanting, but because I'm so tuned in with the present, I just feel like I'm in ecstasy. Like there's really no other way to describe it. And I'll look around me and I'll just see like people around me doing their thing. And really you're in this moment of like, wow, I'm totally here in the fucking now. And it feels so liberating in ways that words can't describe.
Wow.
Natural body high, baby.
Yes.
Love it.
I mean, freedom, right? Freedom, fully embodying what it is to be a human, which is presence. Yeah, that's epic. I love that. Yeah, I feel like we could talk about that for hours. And I think if anyone wants to learn more about Kim's just movement practices, definitely check out her Instagram. She shares just so many different tips and you get to really see her embodying this like lifestyle. So our next question is, what helps you negotiate with your inner child in those moments that your inner child's coming through and it's raging?
Yeah, I always, with the inner child work, I feel like that's just been a constant practice of just being able to sit and tune in. I think that the most difficult part I find with inner child work is actually sitting down and like taking all the distractions like away and just asking yourself, what do I need at this moment? Like, what does my body need? What does child Kim need right now? And it's usually taking that pause, especially when I've had a really busy day, to be the hardest for me. So for me, I think maintaining my care towards my inner child is honestly just shadow work. So being able to ask myself really difficult questions consistently. Something that I've been taught to do is to literally set a timer or set time on my calendar to be mad or to be sad, you know, and to let those emotions release, you know, and those are usually emotions that were pent up for a really long time from my childhood. So giving myself the space and the time to do that. Yeah. And it's just that consistent practice.
Beautiful. Can you imagine if everyone in the planet Earth did that instead of just projecting it on everyone else, like people on the street or strangers? It's like you hear all these crazy things happening now, like happening in New York, Asian hate, like all these like old people getting harassed. It's like, it can just like, I can't imagine how the world can transform if we just expel all the things that we've been bundling up, you know? I mean, that could be a whole nother layer. That could be a whole nother conversation. But tell us about like some of your, you know, I saw that some of your personal life. I saw that you were in Mexico, you were in you were in Tulum. And then when you came back, you started purging all your worldly possessions, right? Like all your stuff at your apartment and all these things. Like, tell us like why you suddenly started to like minimize what you own and like what you're working on to maximize by purging.
So I went to Tulum. Originally, it was supposed to be for 4 days. And it was for a retreat. It was like a business retreat thing. And then I ended up really loving Tulum and just being like, okay, this is my first time traveling outside of the country by myself, believe it or not. Like it was a lot for me. I was like, okay, like I'm in a new country by myself. So I did something I've never done before, which was I flew my partner out to meet me the same day I was supposed to leave. And it was like zero notice. And I said, you can either come with me or you can stay there. I'll pay for your flight ticket. Just meet me here and let's not book a return flight. Let's just see where that takes us. And so we ended up staying for almost a month. And Tulum was beautiful. It was everything amazing. I could imagine and more. It was mind-blowing amazing. And so when I came home, and mind you, I was living out of a suitcase at this time that had like 5 pieces of clothing. And I didn't have like a laundry there. I was basically re-wearing my clothes for a month. And then I came home back to LA. I opened my door and I saw, first of all, a fuck ton of fruit flies in my house because it was not planned that I would stay there. And then I found like dishes in the sink and I found like all this stuff in my home. And I literally had this moment thinking to myself, if I was able to live out of a suitcase for a month, why the hell do I have so much stuff in my home? Like I couldn't like rationalize having so many things. And so since then I've been slowly like literally purging, you know, donating, giving away everything in my house as much as possible. And I like joke about this to my partner and it's like a half joke. And I told him, I want to get to a point where I can live off of like 3 suitcases worth of things. Like that's my possessions. Because it practices non-attachment, right? Like these things don't make you a human being, right? And I think just purging those things and creating space for the new energetically, right? Blessing your home. So like we Palo Santo'd it and then just inviting new energy for like what may come or whatever. It's like a saying, but I think it's been really good. I think it helps me practice non-attachment. And I think it keeps me in the mindset that like at any moment I can lose all of these things. So just be grateful for what you have now.
Spot on. Yeah.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt. Liz here. Let's talk mental health really quick. Who do you talk to help you navigate life's crazy unexpected turns? I had always been an advocate for therapy, but in my 30 years of living, I had never sat down with a therapist myself. That's until a friend recommended BetterHelp. I was curious how a virtual session would work. I've never been a big fan of talking about myself, but my therapist made me feel so comfortable that it was easy to open up my thoughts for discussion and dissection. If you've been curious like me, why not try a virtual session? And we have a special offer for our listeners to get 10% off the first month of BetterHelp. We'll include a link in the description of this episode. And with our exclusive link, you'll get 10% deducted off the package you choose. Take advantage of this great deal and visit betterhelp.com/consciouskitchenpodcast. That's betterhelp.com/consciouskitchenpodcast. Join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Now back to the episode.
It's pretty incredible to like get rid of things because I feel like, you know, it served its purpose and there is energy attached to these things that we collect 100%. Like, I mean, just like, yeah, when you sage your home, you know, you cleanse the energies and the dead energies and all these things. But yeah, I mean, I moved to Spain. I came with a suitcase and somehow I do have like two wardrobes now full of clothes, you know? And it's just like, but yeah, it's good to just remind ourselves that we don't need more than we need. We don't need, you know, other things and we don't need to a bunch of external things to fulfill us. So good reminder. Thanks, Kim. And yeah, I love that journey. Maximize new energy and non-attachment. Love it.
Laura's like so good at not being attached to things. She's always an inspiration to me. And Kim, I really love like how intentional you live, that you really think about all these different areas of your life that aren't necessarily tied in like the common mind to being a more mindful human. But when you take a step back, they truly are, you know, that these possessions that they do in ways hold us back, that these attachments do. And so I love that intentionality with your life. So it's really beautiful.
Wow. Thank you. I received that.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes. Receive it. Yes. Awesome. Okay. So I have a question. Fast forward in your imagination to being 50. And, you know, this is just kind of like a theoretical, like, hey, what's going on with Kim? What has she healed from? How does she react to triggers when they come up?
Yeah, I think it's like a lifetime of work, but I would love to see my triggers and not, you know, something that I have heard about healing that I was taught actually that really resonated with me is that, you know, you're healing when you meet your trigger and there's no electrical charge to it. You meet your trigger and you see it and it's there and you entertain it, you give it tea and you know that it's going to leave. Right. And I think that's my life goal, you know, and I know it's like an ongoing thing and I know goals don't really exist, but like it's my life's mission to be able to meet my triggers with compassion and love. And also at 50 years old, I joke about this half jokingly, but like kind of serious. I would love to just live in the mountains of the Philippines in like my small little hut with like neighbors and community all around me. And we'll just have these community dances and I'm not on social media doing this stuff, or maybe I am, but I don't know. And like, you know, tuning into the earth's medicine and that being like my life journey.
I love it. Let's all create a little community in the Philippines. I'm down.
Aww, yeah.
Yeah, Kim. I totally see you. It was crazy. I was like imagining you in the little mountain and like all these little like naked kids running around and like the food, the like the bananas and mangoes everywhere. Like, totally see that vibe. Hell yeah. We're going to get there.
That's so sweet. There's something that you said that, do you ever think about how like our parents and like the past generations, like they worked so hard to get to where we are, right? To like this like lifestyle of having things and just being like in this modern society. And that I also find myself daydreaming about going and living up in the mountains somewhere. And basically it's like throwing away all those things that they worked so hard for and going back. It's like, it's crazy to me that it's almost like they paved this way. And then we're like, actually, that's not what we want to do. We actually want to go back to it. And that's like, it's such a beautiful thing because I feel like for us now, since we've experienced both, we can truly choose what it is that like we want and hope that we raise like our children or our families in ways that they will also appreciate that as well. Slow living, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I love that so much. That's exactly like, I've thought about that quite often because I went back to New York this weekend and I saw my parents and their house for the first time in 3 years. And I looked in the house and it was like the Filipino household. Like if you were to imagine like a bunch of stuff everywhere, because my parents were planning to like one day give it to people in the Philippines in the Balak Bayan boxes. But it's just sitting in the house and like they like just save all of the free shit that you would get at a hotel. Like all of that is like in my home and I don't live like that anymore. So there is a kind of deep sadness that I felt seeing my parents operate on the survival mode so that they can give to me, and also me knowing more, you know, than they probably know, right? But to what you said, it's so beautiful. Like, it's like closing that cycle, right? They moved to the city only for us to go back to where we came from. It's like a beautiful cycle.
Yeah, a lot of sacrifice, and healing for sure. And I think, yeah, I love that. I love that. Like, I love how you talked about your parents' house too, because when I grew up, my family's house was like that too. So hopefully we can change that for the future, you know, not living in scarcity. All right, Kim. So tell us one thing most people do not know about you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think one thing, I don't know if most people don't know this about me, but I'm a pretty private person. So I have my four friends that I always am with, and that's just it. You know, I think, I feel like something that I kind of got sucked into at the beginning of like the social media thing is feeling like, and living in LA especially, I felt like I had to have all the fucking friends. Like, I felt like I had to be in all of the circles and, like, you know, attend all of the events and, like, be that person. And I only found that that was extremely tiring and unfulfilling for me. And so I just, you know, I do my thing. I put it out on social media, and I'm just like a pretty private person.
And Kim, so tell us, like, if is there anything else that you're looking forward to? Anything that you're going to be, you know, going to be releasing, or, you know, I would love for you to talk about your services, things like that.
Yeah. So I am going to be newly certified as a somatic activated healing coach, or like the spiritual workout coach. So I'm actually looking for places in LA that I can offer a class to. And right now it's like, donation based or free. So I'm looking for just like shelters or hospitals or just yoga centers or anywhere in LA that would like to just have a class offering. So if anyone is listening to this in LA and they're down, I would love to work with you. And yeah, and I also have my Authentically You coaching cohort. So it's a really small cohort of like 5 or 6 Asian American women and femmes who are interested in tapping into movement and creativity as their modalities of like joy or inner liberation. So
I love that. Yeah. You guys go ahead and stalk him on her Instagram. Are you on TikTok?
I am on TikTok. I am. It's a rocky relationship, but we're on there too.
Oh yeah. Nice. Oh, actually, and I also really wanted to talk to you. I know this is kind of like the end point, but I really want to talk to you about your social media sharing point at a lot of these Caucasian festivals and not having like representation. And it's crazy because I've been kind of going through my own inner struggle living here, because there's no Asian creators here, not on social media. They're not highlighted or anything. It's like it's very difficult. So it's like, I really like how you said it verbally and you were like explaining, and you even talked to like the festival organizers and things like that. So like, I love how you just like had the balls to do it. Like, what was your process in that? And like, did you have an outcome? I think there was some results there.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. So I attended this festival. It was supposed to be like a breathwork, a type of like healing modality festival. And I got there and I was one out of very few, like, I mean, like 5, like very few people of color. And actually it was interesting because I had that conversation with everyone there, like all the people of color, and they agreed like, yeah, there's like extreme lack of representation here. So I just had this realization during one of the events, like one of the classes, where it was a breath work session facilitated by an Asian person, and mostly everyone receiving that breath work session was white. And I looked behind me and there was a janitor who was Mexican. And I thought to myself in that moment, I like literally wanted to cry, because I was like, she should be receiving the breathwork medicine that's being facilitated right now. So at the end of the weekend festival, mind you, I just want to also say, I was so angry. I was like yelling. I was just like, I was so angry. My partner is white. So I was like taking it all out on him. I was like, why are we here? Like, it was a lot of that too. And at the end of the festival, I went and I found the founders and I spoke to them and I said, yeah, like these are 3 ways that you can increase representation or diversity in the future. And I gave her 3 tactical ways, because I think when we speak to white people about ways to improve, what makes it easier is to just like tell them how, So I gave them like, you know, you can do the sliding scale, you can do these two other ways. And she took it well, or she took it how she took it. And yeah, and I think this is really good to, I think this experience was really good also because it encourages me, and I hope it encourages other brown and black folk listening to this, to create your own space, like create your own workshop where you are inviting brown and black queer folk, you know, making other people who look like us feel safe, you know.
Yeah, Kim, go Kim, man, leaving the force. I mean, festivals and music festivals and ceremonies and, you know, all these things are huge now, especially in the United States and even in California. You know, I'm not sure where it was, but I mean, it's really good to like make a change because so much people spend a lot of money to go to these things, you know, and it's like, at least you want to feel inclusive. You want to feel like you spent your money and your investment on it, you know. Can you tell us about, because maybe other people can bring this into their own cohort or space, about the three things you mentioned, the sliding scale. If you guys don't know what sliding scale is, can you tell us with some of the three factors for them to improve?
Yeah, I think some ways, if you are looking for more diversity or just bringing in more people of color into your event or your ritual or ceremony, I told those other co-founders having a sliding scale. So just like paying what you can according to like a certain budget. That's one way of having a sliding or an income, right? Sliding scale. The second one is gifting this to someone who is brown or black or queer. So like I told her that if it's on a website, cause you can buy the tickets on her website, to say like, oh, this is a gift, and like check that off and like buy that for someone else and have it directed to their email.
I think another one just to add to that would maybe like scholarships, right? So offering BIPOC scholarships would be super, super helpful and be inclusive, right? Give people the opportunity to be a part of it. It's so important. I mean, yeah, just inclusion is, you have to be inclusive at this point. It's like everyone should be offering these opportunities to people like us. We did not grow up with generational wealth. Like we are, a lot of these things are our medicine. It's almost like, you know, allow us to attend these things. It's, yeah, give us those opportunities for sure.
Yeah, so beautiful. What a great conversation we had today. Kim, if you want to leave anything or drop any knowledge on any of our Conscious Kitchen family, you have a moment right now.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. Yeah, my drop of knowledge is that where you are right now, like literally wherever you are listening to this, whether it's at home, whether it's on the way to work, whether it's on the way to school, wherever you are right now is exactly where you're supposed to be. So, you know, just being open to receiving, you know, whatever life throws at you is an act of spiritual work. So just being open to that, you know, being open to whatever the world throws at you, triggers or not, just receiving that is an act of spiritual work. And I commend you and I'm proud of you and I honor you.
Woo! We love Kim. Come back on the podcast anytime soon. And you guys can stalk her at Kim Ciara, check out her services. And yeah, you're mostly active on Instagram, so go ahead and check her out there.
Yeah, we'll have the link, and we'll have the link in the bio for you to stay connected. And yeah, dive in, just scroll all the way down and just get a full dose of Kim.
Yeah. And if this podcast episode resonated with you, go ahead and share it with your friend right now. Email to them, get the hyperlink, you know, all you can, and drop us a review. You know, we'd love to hear from you guys and what we're doing well on, what we're not doing well. We're always, you know, making room to grow. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much. And thank you guys so much for tuning in the Conscious Kitchen podcast. We love you guys. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Kim. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thanks, everyone. Besitos. Bye.